Life experiences.
Inspiration. Motivation.
Life is a unique journey for all of us. On this journey, we experience many bumps, twists, and turns. Listen as LK Hodge, D. Ward,
and Shani
discuss our personal life experiences to inspire you to be the best that you can be.
Be prepared to stimulate your mind.
What it do, it's your boy LK Hodge,
your boy D. Ward.
And this is Shani.
And we are back with another episode of the Mental Stimulation Podcast. Updates. What are the updates? Who would like to go first?
You just go ahead and start it off.
All right, well, an update with me is I will be traveling this weekend. It's been a long time since I last left. I last left in May. And yeah, I'm ready to get back and see a different part of the world rather than seeing the same old every day.
Are you going, Shani?
Sure. For me, I don't have much of an update as far as physical surroundings. I wish I was getting away. But mentally, I've just been doing a lot of soul searching, reflecting, just thinking internally about just life and just understanding who I really am and the things that are important to me. So my update is that I've been soul searching.
That's beautiful. Same old with me. You know, I'm just working, trying to achieve those goals, those radio goals, those voiceover goals, doing my thing, you know, just being consistent and being patient. I tell people that all the time. Be consistent, be patient, and love what you do every time you do it.
All right, So today's episode, I'm going to relate it back to a blog that I wrote. It was me, like, just thinking about how people put labels on us, and we sometimes believe the labels to be true, and we go through life thinking that. So let me just read a snippet from the blog, and then we'll start from there. Oftentimes, we get caught up in the world around us that we lose sight of who we truly are. We let society place labels on us about who they think we are and how we should be. Some of us fall victim to these labels and question our own identity. We tend to forget the fact that it's us that hold the power in creating ourselves, and it's our voice that we should live by. How do y'all feel about that?
I feel that's absolutely true. When they tell adults to be careful how you talk to a child, be careful what you say, how you talk to them, you know, because children really, you know, their minds are a little different. You know, as you get older, you kind of understand the difference. But, you know, just telling a child anything, they're going to believe it.
Right.
They're vulnerable. Yeah. You know, and they're a bit naive because children don't really know what's going on. They might hear all the different things. And trust me, they paying attention because they nosy as hell. And they swear they grown. But, you know, they soak in that stuff. And kids today, when I tell you, I don't care what type of disorder, what type of label they put on the child. These children are very observant.
Right.
They watching everything. And they going to pick it up. Whether you want to call them ADHD, whatever, they can attention to whatever. These children are watching and they're going to pick it up and they're going to listen and they might not understand. But as they get older, you know, those are the things that continue to reminisce and repeat in their head. So those things are very detrimental. So you got to be careful how you speak to the babies.
Yeah, I always love talking to little kids. I know most people like to, I guess, Google Gaga with them, but I actually say words to them. I like to say, "Hi, baby, how are you doing? And I love you," just to let them know, like, everything's going to be okay. Like, it's okay to be happy. It's going to be all right. Like, even though it's a little baby, they can still hear. Like, their ears are retaining the information around them.
And then I want to piggyback a bit on what you said, Ward, about how kids, you know, soak up on everything. Can you imagine a child being told something negative about them by multiple people?
Of course.
And then imagine how that child grow up feeling and, like, accepting that title because they heard it so much around them.
Yeah. I don't like when, you know, adults just call out certain words to kids, like, "Oh, stupid, dummy."
Yeah, right,
I can't stand that. Like, I mean, trust me, I want to say it myself sometimes, especially working with them, but, you know, as an adult, I realized the best way to deal with children is to be an adult. Be an adult, man. Like, you already know they ain't got it all together. And in some cases, we don't have it all together. So, you know, you have to be very careful, like, how you speak to them. Growing up, my family said a lot of positive words to me. I heard handsome all the time. You know, I heard that I was smart. I heard I was intelligent. I always heard I was creative because they always paid attention that I was interested in art. I was good with dancing. I was a musician all my life. So, you know, just, you know, positive words of affirmation. And those things really helped me today because now I really know, you know, the type of musician I am. I really know the handsome brother that God has created me to be. You know, everybody ain't able, you know.
So were there any negative labels ever put on you that made you feel like that was who you are? Like, because you heard it. And when I say negative, I don't mean like extremely negative, like detrimental negative. I'm going to use me, for example. I've been told I was mean growing up. So it's like hearing that made me think I was a mean person. So like things like that.
I heard selfish a lot. Only because, you know, there was a lot of things my family would do. I wasn't into it. You know, I'm just not always 100% on board. And I just felt like that should have been okay. But a lot of people see it as selfish because, you know, they want you to be there in the moment. They want you to do this certain thing right now because that's what everybody else doing. And, you know, I was the person. I was the rebellious one. I'm still the rebellious one. I'm not coming over there if I don't want to come.
Me too.
Exactly.
I'm actually the same exact way. Like, and maybe it's just the Virgo thing because me and Demetrius are very similar in that way. Like, I like to be able to do what it is that I like to do.
Exactly.
When I want to do it and how I want to do it. And I don't want to be told, like, how to do it or what to do. And it's not to say that, you know, it's being selfish or stubborn. It's just people need to be able to have the freedom to do what they want to do in the way that they want to do it.
I think people are selfish for calling people selfish for, you know, putting themselves first. I feel like that's a selfish thing to call someone selfish. Because selfish is like, to me, because I was called selfish too. I was called selfish for like reasons. Like, let's say, for example, we both have a bag of chips. And you have the red Doritos, I got the blue Doritos. But you want three of my blue Doritos. I'm like, no, if you wanted it, you should have bought it.
Exactly.
But I was called selfish because of that. And, I mean, I know it sounds funny, but seriously, I was called selfish because of that. And I don't think that's selfish. I just think that it's like, I bought this because I wanted it. You had a chance to get the same color Doritos. Why do I have to be selfish? Because I don't want to share my Doritos.
I have a story. I bought some Hot Pockets. Me and my family used to travel quite a bit when my sisters were in college. My sister was at Florida State in Tallahassee. And we went and stayed the weekend with her. And my mom gave me and my cousin like some money, you know, to whatever I guess we wanted to spend it on. Whatever she chose to spend her money on, that was on her. I didn't give a fuck. I knew I was going to be hungry. I bought some Hot Pockets. You know, being
this. I think I remember this.
I was responsible.
I remember this too.
And then my auntie comes out. She like, No, I think my cousin wanted some of my Hot Pockets. And I told her, no, you knew you was going to be hungry. Buy your own shit. So my auntie comes out. She's like, can I get a Hot Pocket? No, you can't have my shit because if you was hungry, I don't care. If you was hungry, you knew you was going to be hungry. Buy food like I did. So my auntie go and get upset. She want to talk to my mom about it and everything. So now I'm forced to give this lady a Hot Pocket. And it's like, that pissed me off. I was upset.
I remember growing up, I had something similar like that too. I used to hate when we would get like Chinese food and there's food left over in the fridge. And someone would eat my food. Like, I used to hate that. So it's like, yeah, it's kind of one of those things where just because you like to do a certain thing or you like to have things a certain way, or if you put something down, you want to be able to come back to it because it's yours. You put it there.
So we all can agree that we were all called selfish in some way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. So next, I was called mean a lot. I know I mentioned it earlier. I was called mean. Do I think I'm mean overall? No. Do I think I was mean in the past? Yes. But not as... I feel like I was only mean because that's what I thought I was. Like, if I didn't want to be bothered with someone or if I want to be to myself, it's like I was looked at as like the mean person, I guess. And it's not even me being mean, just that I like to be alone sometimes. So that was something that I thought was me. And I mean, I know I'm not a mean person.
I actually went through the same thing. The older I got, the more I realized I like to be alone. I enjoy my own company. I like to do my own thing. And it's kind of one of those things where when you're in your own little bubble and you're enjoying your space and then someone kind of comes in and interrupts it, it can make you blow up on them and it'll make them think you're mean. When you're really not mean, you're just really enjoying your own company.
I agree. I was told I have an attitude. I wouldn't say mean. Well, I guess same thing. But the word they actually use was attitude. I remember my dad used to tell me my attitude stinks. My mom would say like I had a bad attitude, and I agree. Not saying I have it like that's my personality as a person. That's who I am. That's just a part of me that when it's provoked, you know. That's why you laugh, because you know, like, I'm really not a bad person, but when I'm provoked and I'm at my point, you know, I say that I have this saying now. I haven't started saying it until I turned 28. If you poke the bear, you're gonna get the bear. And a lot of people like to poke the bear sometimes. And when the bear comes out, it's like they're it's all, I don't know. It's like they're I can't, for lack of a better word, I guess stuck. Because they're like, hey, yo, like this person exists. Like when I have like this voice when I raise it, everybody shuts the fuck up. It's crazy. Like weird. Children, adults, all that. It's so crazy. Like it's crazy to me sometimes, like how just people just come at attention. Like when I get to that point and it's like I'm finna raise my voice and no one is gonna speak over me at this time, because now I'm pissed. Because you poked the fucking bear.
I remember I felt that way for a very long time, until I basically just said I just want to be able to say the things that I feel. You know, I want to be able to express myself openly, being able to talk about my feelings.
Exactly.
And people are like, it's like balloons. It's like the air inflating inside, and it just keeps going until one day it just busts.
Exactly. You can only take so much. Yeah. And people don't realize, you know, I consider myself an empath, because I really can sympathize. I can feel for a lot of people in a lot of different situations that I never even experienced myself. But at the same time, people need to understand I'm just not in the mood to take on all that shit all the time sometimes. You know, sometimes I just need a little space, and you know. But some people don't understand that. So they want to come and they want to give their requests, their comments, their concern, their criticism. You're poking the bear. And here comes the bear. And now everybody's scared. And, and then they think I'm this monster. And it's like, I'm really not.
I'm really not a monster.
I'm really not.
For me, when I feel like I need to express myself, if I don't think about what I have to say, it's going to come out like a tiger, when really I'm just a little kitten.
And then you're going to feel so bad when you're done.
Exactly.
Now right. I got to apologize to everybody and
but
shit.
See, me, I don't really apologize, because one of those things where it's like, I told you before you poked the bear. Like, I told you. And you I don't know.
Not me. I'm a little... I get a little soft afterwards. Like me, I gotta apologize, because especially like I said, people really stop. Like it's like it's happened to my parents. That's how strong like it gets. Like when you poke the bear and I get to that point, I literally stopped my parents, and I had to like apologize to my mom. Like, yo, I did not mean to get to that point with you, but you poked the bear.
So what do you think are things you can do to learn how to calm down?
Walk away. Walk away helps for me. I just don't talk. Don't say shit. Because if I say something, then you're going to say something back. Then I got to say something back. Poking the bear. So if you want to poke the bear, the bear's going to walk away. Because the bear doesn't want to fight today.
Right.
Okay?
That's what happens when egos get involved.
Exactly.
Hodge. I think that people... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I don't think anybody can get me to that point right now. I honestly don't think so. I mean, back in the days when I lived with my mom and them, like, I feel like it was poking bear times, and it was me snapping. Yeah, it was me just snapping about nothing sometimes. But I feel like I'm just in a better place now, where it's like I just don't allow it. So I can't imagine someone getting that one over on me. Y'all get what I'm saying?
Right. Sometimes you have to leave the nest in order to be able to actually fly. Like, you can feel suffocated sometimes in the same surroundings, not getting out, not getting a breath of fresh air. You know, especially with everything that I've just gone through, I could really get out of this town right now. But it's one of those things that's where you have to be strong enough to know that even if things feel hectic around you, that's why you have to have a peace of mind to know that you know what the truth is, you know what's really going on around you, and just loving yourself.
I feel like we went off on a tangent, but that was a good tangent. That was a good tangent. Yeah. That was a good tangent.
Yes.
But I'd have named two things. Anyone want to throw out anything else they were labeled as that they thought was true, or they were labeled as that they know is not true?
I feel like I've always been labeled as stuck up. And it's one of those things where instead of thinking that someone's stuck up, it really could just be that they're shy and they don't know how to interact with people and that they're trying to figure out, how do I blend in? How do I just not attract attention to myself? But a lot of times, especially if you're attractive, it can be misconstrued. Like sometimes people really are just shy and don't know how to open up. I think people can show more compassion to others and saying, oh, instead of thinking Sally's shy, why don't you go over and just talk to her and see how she's doing? So that's something that I realized the older that I grew up, is that all of this time, like, no, I'm not stuck up. No, I'm not bougie. No, I'm not conceited. I'm really just a shy and quiet person. And until you get to know me, that layer is not going to be uncovered. So you get what I'm saying? I feel like why it's important for people to not place labels on kids, because a lot of times it's not until you get older that you understand that's not even true.
I agree, because it's always the ones that you think are stuck up. Once you actually get to know them, you're like, you know, you cool. You really cool. But it's like you said, though. It's like when you're attractive, if you're pretty, I don't know what it is. People just get intimidated. I don't know. It's like that intimidation factor. But I don't know. I actually cracked the code, I think. Like, I love talking to attractive women. Like, once you let an attractive woman know how attractive she is without sounding like a damn creep, you cracked the code, gentlemen. You know, it's pretty easy after that point, but that'll be another conversation. But I definitely agree, you know. Sometimes y'all really cool. Like, the pretty girl is really just cool. She might be pretty as hell. You might not want to speak to her because you don't know how she might take it, but she really just cool. I agree.
Ward, is there any labels that you can think of that was placed on you?
Fat. I feel like the label fat was placed on me. Well, physically, I am fat. Let's be real. But but I feel like fat is really a state of mind. Like, I feel like you're only fat when you act like it. I'm a fat guy, but I don't get approached as a fat person only because I don't display myself as a fat person. You know, I want to stop saying fat because, you know, people go into this body shaming shit, whatever. Y'all can get over it. I'm fat. Fuck y'all. But anyway, like I was saying, like, you know, I don't feel fat. I know I'm fat, but I don't feel like, you know, I'm out here. I'm a move just as good as the guy who's 150 pounds, you know, whoever that might be. But it's like, you know, I've always been active. So, like, I've been like that solid athletic fat. You know, I can move now. I'm faster than I look.
I feel like fat can be a state of mind, because even for me, my weight has always yo-yoed. And so it's like whenever I am finally small, I feel like I'm so fat. But it's one of those things where it's if you tell yourself you're fat, you're going to look in the mirror and see fat.
Yeah. And if you tell yourself that way,
you're going to feel like it. Right. Yeah, you really are whatever you tell yourself you are. I mean, all my life with the yo-yoing, I felt like I was fat. And you guys know when you look at old pictures and then you see, like, oh my gosh, I was so small, but at the time you thought you were so big. And it's like, it's just all about perception and how you view things.
It's really in your mind. Like, even a lot of the words, wise cracks, some of them are hilarious, don't get me wrong. Like, people, I've been picked on all my life, even to this day. Like, working with kids, you know, kids are assholes, so I still hear fat jokes to this day. But, you know, growing up in that environment, shout out to Parkway Middle School and Dillard High School, because if it wasn't for those experiences, you know, those verbal words don't bother me. You know, people gonna talk shit, I talk shit all the time, so it's like, the fat jokes, the wisecracks, they're not always a bad thing, you know? I mean, it wasn't always a good thing at one point. Like, elementary school, I used to take it pretty bad. But as I got older, especially in middle school, especially when I learned to crack back.
You was a soldier in middle
school. Yeah, when I learned to crack back, man, I'm telling you, we even talked about this, Hodge. Like, I should have been, like, have some type of mental trauma of something, like, from all the fat jokes. Like, there was songs.
Can you sing one of them? Sing the Andre the Giant one.
Wait. Oh, Andre 3000?
Yeah. Okay. You want to sing it together?
Why not? Sure.
All right, so Shannon, count us off, Shannon.
It was based off the song "Hey Ya" by Andre 3000.
All right, so Shannon, count us off. Everybody knows.
One,
all
right. Two, three.
Fat ass, Twinkies, fat ass. Ooh, I want some Twinkies. Chris, I remember Chris used to be like, "Twinkies are forever."
Yes,
that part actually used to be funny to me. That part, I used to laugh at that part. But yeah, man, you know.
Do you remember the one with Miss Blaine?
Yes, Miss Blaine is coming. Better get running.
Shake, shake, shake. Big earthquake.
What was that's it? That lady. That's Blaine is coming. That lady is another soldier because y'all used to pick on that. Shout out to Parkway Middle School.
Mm-hmm.
Class 06. It was 06?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Shout out to us, man.
Mm-hmm. And so, what would you say are ways that you guys, the older you get, how do you kind of tap into, okay, this is not a label that I want to claim?
In order to tap into that, first things foremost, you have to know who you are as a person. Mm. If you don't know who you are as a person, everything that someone says about you, you're going to believe.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to not accept those labels
mm-hmm.
when you don't know who you are.
Mm.
So you got to know who you are.
That's
I think that's what happened with me because, like I said, a lot of things that I heard, I started believing about myself. And it's like I had to really get that alone time to really sit down and get to know who I am as a person, mm-hmm. to know that all that stuff is just what people think of me, not who I know I am.
Mm. Well, I guess I can co-sign that because that's pretty much it. You know, we used to talk about that a lot in the previous season,
mm-hmm.
knowing yourself, the importance of self-awareness. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, once you know yourself, nobody like can say anything to you that like, can bother you. I mean, it's gonna bother you. Let's be real.
I mean, it's as human nature. Things
gonna bother you, mm-hmm. but at the end of the day, you have to know deep down inside, people words are just words, and you can't control those things. You have to be okay with not being able to control what people say or do.
Mm-hmm.
You can only control yourself and know yourself.
See, and another thing that I didn't mention earlier, what I was thinking about just now is another label that was placed on me, you know, my macho cousins, I guess, they felt like I wasn't masculine enough to be around them.
Mm.
They felt like I was just,
Now, that's something good. You should definitely touch on that.
Yeah, so, and it made me feel like, as I got older, it's like, okay, am I really not masculine? But then you got to think about what the term masculinity means.
Mm.
People, especially guys, hardcore guys, they think that's what masculinity is. Like, I'm a man, I'm macho. I want to talk about fucking bitches all day. I want to talk about, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah.
And that's just not me. I've never been the type to sit around and sit there and talk about this type of stuff. I'm always a low-key person.
I didn't talk about it either, but I'll be about it, though.
I'm a very low-key person. And not only that, like, you know, I'm not even into athletics like that. Like, I'm really, like, just, I was into video games growing up. I was into, like, music, stuff like that. Like, things that's not, like, I guess, masculine enough, like sports and all that other stuff. So that is something else that it took me some time to sit back and really realize what a man is. And I realized I am a man. Like, mm-hmm. I make my own money. I don't depend on anybody for anything, you know, and I just carry myself with so much, I guess, mm-hmm. pride in who I am. That is really what a man is. And that's really what masculinity is.
In other words, you handle your responsibilities. My mom always said being grown, being an adult, being a man, a woman, it just means you handle your responsibility. That, yeah, you can go out and do what you want whenever, but at the end of the day, when you handle your responsibilities, that's what defines you as that man or that
right.
woman or
right.
that adult mm-hmm. or right. that grown ass person that you always claim that you are.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not handling your responsibilities, you're not grown.
Right.
If you're depending on somebody, mm-hmm. you're not grown.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Once you're doing everything that you need to be doing, once the bills are paid, car note, phone, and you still have your money to be able to go out and enjoy yourself, like, that's what a part of being an adult is. What are the things that you enjoy to do in your time off? And I feel like people would be more happy if they understood what it is that makes them happy as individuals, as an adult, because you can't do kid things forever. So it's like once your mindset starts to change and you start to grow and develop, you have to start to think like, okay, what are the responsibilities that I want to take on? What are the things that it's going to take for me to be able to be happy?
Y'all, I'm shaking right now. Like, that was like some deep shit I just like let out.
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, like, shaking right now.
That's what this platform is for, to be vulnerable. Let it out.
But, yeah, that was, like, something I struggled with. It took me some time to really realize who I am as a person and realize, like, their words do not define me.
And hopefully that helps somebody, because a lot of guys, we don't talk about it.
We don't. We really don't.
You know, a lot of guys deal with those moments where they don't feel masculine enough, or there's a man or group of men who come together. And just, especially, you know, when you're growing up in those adolescent years, childhood years, you know, you run into those people who be like, you know, this is what a man does. This is what
Right.
don't know shit about being a man because you ain't never been a man, little nigga. What you talking to me for?
And not only that, I want to put out there, I'm very emotional. Like, I'm very emotional. But, you know, that's not what men are in society. So it's like, with me being very emotional,
I think that makes you more of a man than anybody, that you can be vulnerable and open like that.
And that's what I'm learning as I get older. Because, you know, growing up, like, you know, like you said, adolescence age and things like that. And what you, like, you hear people, you want to be macho in school, all that other shit. And it's like, with all those things, you don't want to come off as weak or not be able to fit in with those around you.
Yeah, all men can't be emotional or vulnerable or open.
I feel like even depending on the nationality, where you come from.
That too.
It depends on where you come from. Certain nationalities, you're kind of taught you don't show emotion. Everything is kind of just not spoken about. And I feel like things like that is kind of how things get to a head. And so I think it's good to let people know, like, it's okay to cry. It's okay to open up. It's okay to say, you know, this is how I feel about something. And just really understanding what it is you feel, because sometimes when you keep it bottled in for so long, that's when the head comes. If you were explaining how you felt the whole time, there would not have been a head to come in the first place.
And that's why when I have kids, I want to have, like, a very intimate relationship with my child. Like, we could talk about anything. I don't want you to feel like you can't talk to me about stuff. I want to give you compliments. I just want to be your biggest fan. And I want to let you know that it's okay if you make a mistake. You're not dumb because you did this. You're not da-da-da. Like, I want you to know it's okay. I want you to know that you're loved every day. I want you to know that I'm your biggest fan. Whatever you want. I don't want you to be a police officer. Do you want to be a police officer? Because if that's what you want to be, that's what I'm going to support. Like, I just want to be that for my child. I don't want my child to grow up feeling that they're what society wants them to be. I want them to feel like they're themselves.
Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do. That's hard to do, especially with a world that has so many labels for people, that has so many titles, that has so many different things you can witness and view every day of how you could be, how you should be. You know, I'm not a parent. I ain't no expert on being with children, but I work with kids. So I know a little bit. And definitely what I want to say to all adults right now, especially those who have kids, be careful what you say, what you speak to your kid, and what you speak upon your child. You know, please be careful with those words, because kids really just,
they're like sponges.
They really are, and they're really gonna believe it. And when you, like, really get to know a child, when you really get to sit, you relate with children, you speak with them, actually have conversations with them, you really get, like, you really see the innocence. Some kids might say some wild shit. Someone might be rude. Some might whatever. But you really can get to see the innocence in a child when you speak to them and you actually get to know them. It's really important that you relate and understand and let a child know that it's okay to be human. Because kids are the most competitive type of people. They're the most, let me try to get it right. Let me be perfect. You got to let a child know it's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to, you know, be
they
this and that. You don't have to be good
feelings
at everything.
Like, when kids explode, like, if you say, Billy, go sit down over there, and he says, ah! He doesn't know how to kindly say, like, excuse me, I don't want to go and sit over there. But that's how kids express themselves. And as you grow up, if you don't learn how to express yourself without screaming, you're not going to know how to say it when the time finally comes to say it.
Exactly. Instead of being like, shut up, you stupid motherfucker. You know, you'd be like, hey, why are you yelling? Okay? There's no need to yell. You don't have to yell right now to get your point across. And boom, kids, shut the fuck up.
And it's so crazy. Well, it's crazy that we got on this topic because y'all know I teach. Everyone knows I teach. And I teach middle school. And I have 103 students, to be exact. And out of that 103 students, I have no major behavior issues. Like, of course you can have kids doing foolishness. They're kids, they're teenagers. Oh, yeah. You're gonna have to say sit down, da-da-da. Yeah, you can talk to them. But I can tell y'all, no lie, none of my students will ever disrespect me. Well, let me not say ever, because you know they can step out of line sometimes, but
kids
it's
will be
very
kids.
Rare. But I have the utmost respect from all of my students. And to be, I think I'm the youngest teacher they have. And it's like, I have respect from all of them because of how I deal with them. It's like I have my individual bond with each and every one of them.
You know how to relate to them.
Yeah. So it's like, when they do stuff, I'll tell them, yeah, you did something that didn't make, that was stupid, da, da, da. But I mean, I would talk to them and like, let them know, like, you're smarter than that. Come on now. I just talk to them like that. And I don't know what it does. I mean, I see what it does, but it's like,
words of affirmation.
You got to give it to receive it. And kids see that. You know, when you learn how to talk to a child, you know, when you learn to understand, I'm the adult and you're the child, and I'm going to talk to you that way, but I'm going to also understand that you're a child, okay? So I know you ain't got it all together. You know, you just got to learn how to relate. And I think that's a great thing that you do, because I've seen it myself, how you relate so well. And, you know, you taking past experiences, and I think that's what separates good teachers from great ones. You know, those teachers or people in general who work with children, when you take those past experiences and you go into the next year, like, you know, a new person, like, you know how to approach the game a little different. You know, you're more seasoned, you know, more experienced, and you have more respect from the kids. You know, that really what separates those great teachers from those good ones. So I like that, that you continue to relate and you continue to be a role model. Gotta show children how to act. They watching you. Show their ass how to act.
I have a question. What is a memory you guys have of growing up in school and something mean a teacher might have said to you?
I was good in elementary, so I don't think they said anything.
Yeah, bad. Teachers, I mean, loved me. I never gave teachers problems or nothing, so.
I know fifth grade when I started acting up. I'm thinking middle school, because I started turning up a bit in middle school. I can't recall. I don't think.
You know what? When I was in high school, my band directors, I never really heard them say these words, but my band director spoke to my mom because he had a conference with my parents for whatever reason. I don't even know why I had conferences in high school. I never had problems in high school. But they had a conference with my band director, and my mom told me that my band director was like, yo, that boy's bad on that tuba. Not like bad in a bad way, but like bad in like in a good way. You know, that bad. And you know, I used to think like, you know, he used to rob me. I'm gonna go ahead and shout him out. Mr. Dorsey. Shout out Mr. Dorsey. Like one of very many band directors I've had throughout my years of being a musician. And you know, to hear him say those words, cause he wasn't the guy, he would give compliments, but it was very few compliments and very selected times when he would use them. So just to hear my mom was like, yo, Mr. Dorsey was like, yo, you bad on that tuba. That was some words that like really spoke to me, like, yo, this guy believes in me. So this guy really thinks I can do this. And then boom, $13,000 scholarship. I'm in college. Because of him.
That's really good. As you were talking, I actually remembered in middle school, I don't know if you guys remember Miss Scott, and she used to say,
yeah,
empty barrels make the most noise. And I remember at the time I used to think, what in the world does that even mean? And it wasn't until I was older until I realized, like, empty barrels really do make the most noise. Like, people that have things bottled up in them, but they don't know how to articulate themselves, sometimes when they blurt it out or when they let it out, you think that they're not sure what's happening. And I think that that's why people should learn how to speak to children, how to relate to them. I don't think those are words that you yell at kids that they later sit down and think, okay, maybe this was just a confused or lost child and they don't really know what's going on around them. I just think that people should exercise empathy more. Instead of thinking that a child is dumb or incompetent, why don't you just ask them, like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? Do you need a moment? Why are you misbehaving? Or why are you talking out of turn? Or just get to know like what's going on. You'd be surprised that if you ask people questions, they'll just tell you the answer.
Yep. Especially with kids, half the time they ask don't even know.
Well, that was a great conversation today. Hope you guys enjoyed. You can always follow me on Instagram, lk.hodge. You can go visit the blog site, mentalstimulation.org. And you can also follow the Mental Stimulation Instagram page, mentalstim_.
You can follow me, your boy D Ward, at dward.vo on Instagram.
And make sure you follow me, Shani, at youloveshani, youloveshanny. Thank you for listening.
All right, we're done.
Mental Stimulation, Stimulate Your Mind
podcast.
Holla.